a blessing to you. I know the ladies, we're looking forward to just being here in Great Falls. You provoke very many to good things and spiritual things. You may not even know that, but having never been up here in this neck of the woods before, folks just telling me, can't wait till you get to Great Falls. You're going to be a blessing up there. You're going to be with Brother Scherer. You're going to be with Brother... who was I with today? Oh, yes, Brother Dion. You know, it gets the place. You wonder where you are, you know. And when you get to be my age, you're just glad to be anywhere. But, you know, just a delight to be in your churches today and see what God is doing in Great Falls here in Montana. Keep going on for the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight, and if you would, please turn with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is one of the pastoral epistles. This is Timothy that is receiving some instruction from the aged Apostle Paul. And you know, when you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is Paul giving some of his last words and instructions as an aged old soldier, if you will, passing the torch to this young Timothy as he's about to continue in ministry. And Paul's summarizing basically what he's given to Timothy in the first epistle, now here in the second epistle. And so I want to draw your attention tonight to these first eight verses of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And if you're able, would you stand with me in remembrance and reverence to the Word of God this evening? And let's read these eight verses together. You read along silently as I'll read aloud, where Paul says these words to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." And I hope that includes you tonight. Let's bow for prayer, and then you may be seated. Father, thank you again tonight for the privilege of opening our Bibles. Thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day, a reminder to us that you are a risen Savior. You're the living God. And, Lord, how we thank you that it was on the first day of the week that you left that tomb, and it's an empty tomb today, and nowhere to be found is your gravesite. Lord, we're thankful for a living God, and thank you, Lord, in a day and age when people are listening to gods of stone and praying to gods of stone at least, and these kinds of things. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made for us. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll do a work in our hearts and lives. Thank you already for the blessing that these songs have been to my heart, to our hearts tonight, challenges, reminders of our country and this great land that you have given to us, land of freedom and land of liberty. Lord, also encouraging us about issues and circumstances that come our way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Even tonight, Lord, whatever the problem, whatever the reason that we may have a heavy heart or just some doubts or events going on in our life that are challenges, we pray that our hearts might be lifted and encouraged and helped by the Word of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. This is Memorial Day weekend, and I don't need to remind you of that. And let's pray for just enough energy to get through this night. We are just halfway through softball, eating, hot dogs and hamburgers and all that sort of thing. We've got a big night still ahead of us. But Memorial Day weekend should be special to us as Americans, remembering the liberties that have been given to us. Like many of you, How many have been to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Let me see your hands. You know, wasn't that an inspiration? Independence Hall, did you do that? And I just had that opportunity here a couple months ago to see that once again. And you know, my heart was lifted as I just stood in those very rooms where Benjamin Franklin and George Washington and all those great men of our history stood and then write the Declaration of Independence and signed and affixed their signatures there. And then recognized that all of those men that affixed their signatures gave their lives. They gave their lives for our freedom. Historically, this ought to be a day that brings us all the way back historically in America to thank God for what those men and women were willing to do to forge us and carve for us the liberties of America, that we can say, God bless America, land that we love. And then to fast speed it a little bit, you know, I've been over to Hawaii, and if somebody's here tonight just returning from Hawaii, maybe you've ever had the chance to go to Pearl Harbor. And remember what happened back in the 40s as the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And if you ever look there at the memorial there in Pearl Harbor and still see the oil seething up through the ocean, even today, it's an amazing thing. You'd think that would be all over with, but it's still a fresh reminder of the defenses and the horribleness of war and the tragedy of the loss of life of men and women on that fateful day. That was a terrible day in America. But then to go up in the hills at the Punch Bowl and see that National Cemetery there and see the acres and acres of crosses and grave sites of men and women that gave their lives during World War II in the Pacific Theater. And then I've had the opportunity, another touching experience, of going to Manila in the Philippines. And there at the National Cemetery there, again, acres and acres and acres, hundreds and thousands of grave sites in that National Cemetery there. And then the wall after wall after wall of minute lettering that were just people's names of men that gave their lives during World War II, again, over in the Pacific Theater. It was a moving experience for me to think of all these people that paid the ultimate price. And then perhaps like you and I, and as we fast forward up to today, and think of Iraq, and think of Afghanistan. And no doubt you've seen some of those pictures on TV and wounded warriors, and touches our hearts as they're making some appeal to supporting these dear veterans that have come back from Iraq and come back from Afghanistan without an arm, without two arms and without legs. And they go back to their families, young men. Some have been mentally impacted because their heads have been bombarded and they have suffered injury of great and infinite impacts that will impact their lives and their families for the rest of their days. And those are touching things. And if you have stood today in this morning's service or have served in our country, we want to not only thank them, but thank you. Because we owe you a great debt of gratitude, of saying thank you for serving our country, because we enjoy the liberties. We'll enjoy tomorrow if the Lord tarries. We'll enjoy these kinds of things that God has given to us in America. And yes, there's a lot wrong with America, but there's an awful lot right with it. And then whenever I touch back, being out of this country and touch back on this soil, I'm always glad to be back in America. And it's a wonderful thing. So, yes, we need to pray for America, and America needs revival. And the hope of America is not in the White House. The hope of America is right here in God's house. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Well, let's come back to our thinking tonight of 2 Timothy, because, again, Paul is the aged soldier. Paul is the aged soldier, and we've just read here in these first eight verses that he's ready to, his time of departure is at hand. He's pulling up the stakes of his life, so to speak, and he's knowing that the end, he's just got a few days left before he leaves this earth, and he's, as an aged soldier, he's beginning to direct his focus to his young mentor, a young soldier. His name is Timothy. And he gives, again, a summary, and he gives him a charge. And he says, as we tonight have received a torch, the torch of liberty. We've received it from many preceding generations in American history, right up to the current history that we are now living in. We've received that torch of liberty. Well, that's kind of what I see the Apostle Paul doing here, as he's transferring a torch that he has carried for the cause of Jesus Christ. He's a soldier, an old soldier of Jesus Christ, and he's transferring that torch to this young mentor of his, Timothy. And he's saying, Timothy, take this torch, will you, as for the cause of Jesus Christ and being a soldier of Jesus Christ as I am. Let me just stop and pause here this evening that we might make this passage relevant. And I want to do this to us right now. If you can think of a time and a place where you repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you know since that time that you called on the Lord to be your Savior, He gave you the gift of eternal life. Your life has been changed. You're a new creation in Christ. And if you know that tonight, you're not ashamed of that, and I'm not ashamed of that, would you lift your hand real high and say, yes, I'm a child of God? Wonderful. It's good to see. That's an inspirational scene to see that we're together with a common faith and we're brothers and sisters of Christ. Even though we've not seen each other before, yet there's that common bond. But I want to remind you tonight that as you lifted that hand as a child of God, just like Timothy in the first Timothy in the first century, you and I tonight possess the same responsibilities and should receive the same charge to be the same soldier of Jesus Christ, young and old. We ought to be receiving in the 21st century this charge from the Apostle Paul to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to, as it were, receive a torch, to receive that torch that God has given to us of this generation. Some of you are the older generation. Some of you are middle-aged generation. And some of you are the young generation. But nevertheless, we have a world to reach and we have a job to do. And I see the introductory verses here of Paul saying basically three things to Timothy here in verse number one. He says a couple things. Number one, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, in other words, and the dead at his appearing. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, Timothy, I want you to get a hold of this. He says, you're laboring here. You're going to be perhaps pastoring there at that church in Ephesus. But I want you to know what you're doing as a young soldier of Jesus Christ. You're doing it before the eyes of God. God is watching. He is your judge. You're doing this before God. You see that in verse number one? I charge thee before God. Tonight, as we assemble in the Lord's Day on a Sunday evening, as preacher said, a wonderful time to get together as God's people. Generally speaking, most of us know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But we need to be reminded that whatever we do as a Christian, whatever we're doing in ministry, whatever we're doing in our lives, we need to, one, number one, rejoice that we can raise our hand tonight and recognize that we're not going to be standing one day before the great white throne judgment. The Bible says every name that is not named and written in the Lamb's Book of Life will stand before the great white throne judgment and receive the reward of their sins and be eternally banished from the presence of God for all of eternity. In the Bible, places calls the place the lake of fire. But thank God tonight, we don't have to be there because we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. But Christian, remember one thing. That doesn't mean that we're going to step aside and circumvent judgment, because the Bible says to those of us who are Christians, the Bible says every one of us will give an account of ourselves to Him. That's the judgment seat of Christ, not for our sins. We're not going to stand and give an account of sins. That was put on Jesus. All of our sins, past, present, and future, thank God for that, have been placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He did pay it all. What I'm telling you tonight, the Bible says that what we've done since we're Christian, the motivations, what we've done, we'll either receive rewards or receive loss, according to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we will stand there. And the Bible says, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. That's a day that's coming. We need to be reminded as young soldiers tonight, we're going to be accountable for what either we're doing or not doing and why we're doing what we're doing. There's a time coming. Be reminded of that. And then secondly, in that same verse, it's for His kingdom. In other words, what we do is not for ourselves. What we're doing is not for Heritage Baptist Church. What we're doing is not for Pastor Shearer necessarily. What we're doing is for the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. It is Him and it is He that we serve tonight. He is the one that we serve. And it is the King's business that we're about. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the one that we serve, the captain of our salvation, if you will. Will you receive the torch as Timothy received the torch from the old soldier? Will you receive tonight as you raise your hand and said, I'm a child of the King? Then let's serve the King, and his work and the King's business deserves our haste. We do not have long. I heard my brother-in-law on the radio, as I was just mentioning a few minutes ago, saying, this could be the last Sunday. And then he's absolutely right, preacher. This could be the last Sunday night that we ever gather together on this side of heaven. Thank God. I hope and pray every day. Is this the day? Jesus, are you coming today? Even so, come quickly, we should be saying. Every day we should be waking. Is this the last day, Lord? Every one of us, we do not know what a day may bring forth. But thank God we know as Christians that we're working for the kingdom of God. And then I want you to notice one last thought. And that is, he says, Timothy, there's coming a time of truth decay. Not tooth decay, but truth decay. Look at verse number 3. For Paul says, as the aged soldier to this young soldier, Timothy, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Friend, that was something that Timothy was warned about from Paul. That was the first century. We are there. The time has come. Could I have an amen to that? We have a time when people are not enjoying sound doctrine. Many Christians are afraid to even open the door when a Jehovah's Witness comes for one basic reason in my mind, preacher, and that is that we're not as well schooled as they are. We have the word of truth. They have a bunch of green books, yellow books, purple books, and all the rest of the books, and they give a lot of time during the week at their kingdom halls, and we're afraid to open the door because we don't want to be embarrassed and put on the spot that we don't have to know how to answer the questions. What's the problem? The problem is we've somehow circumvented sound doctrine. We need to know what we believe and why we believe, and it needs to be based on the word of truth, God's word. But the time will come, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts and desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And preacher, do they have them in our day today, going to this place and that place of this church just with itching ears so they can learn some little fables and be taught some things that make them feel good rather than hearing the truth of God's word as they ought to be hearing it. You ought to thank God for the preacher God's given to you. A faithful man that is giving to you the preaching of God's word week after week after week after week after week in these many years here at Heritage Baptist Church. Thank God for that, because this is the place where you're hearing truth. And so I see those three things. But then he goes into verse number 5. And I want you to just settle in. And I will not be long tonight, but I wanted to give you four essential things that Paul summarizes. It seems like he summarizes all of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy all in verse number 5 with four essential things that this aged soldier says to this young soldier, Timothy. It says, Timothy, these are four essential things that you need to have in your life if you're to carry and to receive this torch that I'm about to transfer to you and to give to you for this generation. I'm leaving. I'm departing. Timothy, will you take it? And so he says in verse number 5, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, number 2. Number 3, do the work of an evangelist. And number 4, make full proof of thy ministry. Those four things. Let's look at them together quickly tonight, if you would. First of all, Paul says, I want you to watch thou in all things. But watch thou in all things. If you're taking notes tonight, would you jot this down? Be steady. Be steady. In these words, that's what Paul is saying as an aged soldier to this young soldier. And that's what he's saying to us. That's exactly what he's saying to us in our generation. Timothy's gone. Paul's gone. But here we are. And here's the word of God. And so far as I believe with all of my heart, this is God's word to us tonight. This is just as relevant as it was hot off the fire and hot off the coals to Timothy. He says, but watch thou in all things. Be steady. Be steady is what he's saying. And I look here at this word of God. And I see in verse 2, slip up to verse 2. It's incorporated what Paul has just said. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. In other words, this is the word that he says, Timothy, this is your foundation. This is your book. And every one of you should be holding in your hands a precious book tonight, the Word of God. This is a Bible preaching church. I don't know how you feel about it, preacher, but I'm saying I'm getting a little concerned about seeing young people coming to church these days, to our churches, and they're not carrying their Bible. Some folks are just sitting there watching me. Hey, look in your Bible. Make sure that you're getting God's Word. Do like the Thessalonians or the Bereans and search those things daily to see if those things are so. Learn your Bibles. This is your foundation. This is the foundation book. And so he says, verse 5, I want you to watch in all things and be steady. Have this foundation. I often say to my people, here is the Bible. This is where I am. I'm not above the Bible. If I ever say anything from this pulpit that is contradictory to this book, don't just come up and say you just don't agree with what I'm saying. You come and bring your Bible, because my responsibility and charge from God is to preach this book. Preach the Word. And I have to be in consistency with this book at all times to preach that Word. Why? It's the foundation of our churches. It's the foundation of our truth. It's the foundation that causes us to be steadfast. Steadfast. It's directly linked to the Word of God. Now, I say tonight, if you want to be steady, you've got to have a good foundation. And this is the cardinal and main question that I want to give to you out of this point, is what is your relationship, soldier, young and old? What is your relationship to the book? To be steady, to be steadfast. If this is the foundational book, what is your relationship? To some of us maybe tonight, we're willing to say, I believe this book is the Word of God. And you should say that. This book does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. This is God's Word to us, infallible, preserved for us. God has given to us His Word without error. This is God's gift to us. Oh, how we ought to love His law. But it's not just good enough to attend an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church and say, I believe the Bible. We've got to be in it. We've got to be people of the Word. In other words, what I'm getting at and driving at is, what is your relationship to the Word of God as to how you make it your foundation? This past week, just think of this past week in your own personal life. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been in the Word of God every single day without missing this past week? Don't raise your hand. But you know, the Bible doesn't command us to read the Bible, but it commands us to meditate in the Word of God, and we're to be people of this book. And I've been in churches, large churches, as well as small churches, and asked this question with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you would be shocked. You would be shocked at how many people, or how few people, are in the Word of God without scattering around and saying, well, 5 out of 7 days, or 3 out of 7, well, I was busy this past week, and that day went by, or this day went by, and even this is Sunday, and I don't care what day it is, Sunday is a day to be in the Word of God as much as any day. In fact, you ought to be in it more. It not just to be spoon-fed from the preacher, but your own personal time in the Word of God. And so let's just bring it down to where we're living. Do we need to make a decision tonight? Do we need to be challenged tonight to say, you know what, as a soldier of Jesus Christ on this Memorial Day weekend, if I'm going to follow the command of God given to by the aged soldier Paul to the young mentor, I need to get back into the book. Yeah, I'd not be surprised to see young people that have made decisions at conferences and camps and these kinds of things that said, I'm going to read my Bible every day. But what happened to that covenant? What happened to that vow? And sometimes those vows, which are good to make, they're wonderful to make, and I've made them myself. But we need to keep those things. We don't need to just make them for a few weeks or a few months and then just let them wane. We need to be steadfast. That's what Paul says. Be steadfast. Watch thou in all things. Steadiness comes from a good foundation. I challenge you tonight, be people of the Word of God, personally as well as collectively. Secondly, I see something that Paul says here at verse number 5. He says, not only watch thou in all things, but endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Turn your Bible back just one page, 2 Timothy chapter 2. and maybe two pages, and verse number 3, he says, "Thou therefore," still speaking to Timothy, "endure hardness." And then he uses a word picture. And what's the word picture? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, God wants us to have an assessment or an evaluation that we are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Not only to be steadfast, but to be a soldier that is a good soldier in the eyes of Christ. I wonder tonight how many of us could consider ourselves good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Are we enduring affliction? Are we enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? So many of us see the Christian life as a playground. It's not a playground. It's a battlefield. It's a battlefield. We were discussing this morning in Sunday school, we have three battlefields. One is the world, one is the flesh, and the other is the devil. And you know what tonight? The devil is wanting to devour us as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But God says when the time comes of trial, and when the time comes of affliction, when the time comes of trouble, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Now, I was in the military for a few years, and many of you were in the military. You've seen different kinds of soldiers. You've seen perhaps those that are learning how to march forward and come to a halt, and then stand tent, hunt, and then parade, rest. Preacher, I see a lot of Christians in our churches that are parade, rest. Parade, rest. In other words, preacher, they come to church. They look right. They're ready for inspection of the uniform. But that's all they do. They're just there to be inspected. There's no action. Listen, we've not been called, church, to just be on parade rest. We've been called to the battlefield to fight the good fight. As Paul says later on in this passage, I have fought a good fight. We have those that are AWOL, away without leave. When I was in the military, and that was during the time of the Vietnam conflict, I had many of those that were going through basic and those that were going through advanced infantry training. There were those that just, as we said, went over the hill. Went over the hill. In other words, they never showed up. They were willing to go to the brig. They were willing to get arrested. But they were not willing to go to battle. And they were away without leave. I find that happening in our churches, don't you? Maybe some seats tonight are empty because somebody is away without leave. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day appearing. We're to be active and be present and be available for God's work. Sometimes we see those that are just tin soldiers, you know, not really real. They're just tin soldiers. They're not real. And oftentimes that will take place in Christianity, where we have just a pretension, a facade that we're Christians and we're part of the body of Christ. And just raising a hand doesn't make you a Christian. And just walking the aisle doesn't make you a Christian. But one that is born again by the Spirit of God is a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's not be tin soldiers. Let's not be AWOL soldiers. Let's not be a parade rest soldier. Hey, let's not be draft dodgers. Let's be enlisted. Let's be like you read so often in the Old Testament when the Lord spoke and they said, Samuel said, here am I. Here am I. And Abraham said, here am I. I love that phrase. That's how all of us ought to be. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As the Lord looks down on you tonight, would you say, young person, would you say, adult, that God looks at you as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? I hope he does. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then on this Memorial Day, think of this third thing, and that is to be a soul winner. Look at that same verse, verse number 5. It says, do the work, the aged soldier said, Paul, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Be giving out the gospel. Be giving out the good news. 1 Corinthians 15, giving out the good news. By the way, inviting somebody to church is a wonderful thing, but that's not giving out the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It's the fact that he was buried in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights. It's the fact that he's not there today. He's alive and he's living. Your preacher just got back from Nepal. I just got back a few days, and I think we waved at each other in the air. We were in the air long enough, 30 hours plus. So, I've never been to a darker place spiritually in all my travels abroad than Nepal. My eye affecteth my heart. I've never seen the intensity of people, not only Buddhists, but primarily Hindus there. About 80-some-odd percent of those people are Hindus. And I was within arm's reach of a woman. And these ladies have heard that. Please don't get tired of it. But I'm telling you, it's something that has impacted my heart, and I'll never get away from it. I don't think soon. But she was within arm's reach, and she was at the Temple of the Monkeys. And she's just folding her hands like Asians do before those statues, stone, and no ears that could hear, no eyes that could see, no mouth that could speak. But in earnestness, she was just bowing like this. And all of a sudden, her hands were unusual and caught my attention. In fact, as I was just going as a tourist, just kind of taking some pics of photos of what was going on there, so I could take them back just to use them as photos of what I'd seen. And all of a sudden, these hands became uncontrollable. She had a couple friends on the other side. And you know the thing I noticed, preachers, not anybody flinched, not anybody reacted in any unusual way. It was just something that was commonplace. And then her body became stiff. And then her eyes began to roll back in her head. She began screaming in another voice than what was hers. This woman was demon-possessed. Possessed of the devil. And in all of that, I saw that and I said, these people need the gospel. These people have never heard a plain presentation of how Jesus could save them. There are people going around with these prayer wheels, kind of like a lottery type thing of prayer, where they spin these wheels in earnestness, young people as well as old people. And you can see the seriousness and the genuineness of their heart. But that was their hope, as they were spinning these things, that somehow their God would save them. And the message that I got, Brother Shearer, as I was over there, I said, how do you win these Hindus to Christ? How do you win these Buddhists to Christ? How do you reach these people? And they said this, folks. The only way that we can reach them is because they're disappointed in the fact that their God does not hear. Their God does not hear their prayers. And if you come to them, you've got to say that your God is better than their God. Your God is a God that does hear. He's a living God. He does see. He does speak. He's different than your God. And our God does supernatural things that your God could never do. And you've got to show them. And my heart was convicted of saying, I need to have things going on in my life that I can show these people that they're real. We have the gospel, people. We have the gospel. And we're to be soul winners. And yet I want to tell you tonight, isn't it a shame that in our churches, many of us did not even give one track out last week? You know, if I had you raise your hand and say, how many of you gave one track out? And that is not even speaking. Every day, I believe, we ought to be praying, God, open doors, as the Bible says, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Do you not think that in Great Falls, Montana, God is interested in you reaching your Jerusalem? God has planted this church to fulfill the Great Commission. But don't forget, Acts chapter 1 says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both. Did you get that word? Both in Jerusalem. That's Great Falls, Montana. And in Judea, that's your state. In Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We have a responsibility to do the work of an evangelist. Would you listen to me tonight? The aged Apostle Paul had Timothy, a young man, that was an earnest Christian that wanted to serve God. And Paul is begging this man. I can see that in this passage. He's saying, Paul, I'm asking you, you're going to be judged for this. You need to be a soldier. Will you please take this torch? I'm going to glory. Somebody's got to carry the torch. Will you be steadfast in the Word of God? Will you be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Will you endure hardness and not quit and not give up? Will you endure hardness? And will you be a soul winner? Will you ask God to open your mouth and speak boldly as you ought to? And tonight, church, if we're responding to this challenge as we ought to have some tracts. We ought to ask God for opportunities this week that we might be able to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be a soul winner. Be steadfast. Be a soldier. But be a soul winner. And then lastly, number four, he says, and make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, Timothy, be sustained. Don't quit.
Amen.
Don't let people despise your youth, as he said in another passage of Scripture. He said, just keep on keeping on. Don't quit. And again, I hesitate to use anyone here on the platform as an example, but your preacher is an example of somebody that hasn't quit. He's going to keep on keeping on, regardless of the hardships and regardless of the challenge in his life. He's going to keep on keeping on. And that's not just to the preacher, that's to all of us. Not just has-beens, or we used to teach Sunday school, or we used to serve God, but we're still keeping on keeping on. Is he the Bible saying here that we ought to be able to take up that testimony? Paul, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And that is a good word that means the word of God that's entrusted to me is a treasure. I have kept that faith. And it's been valuable to me. And I've been a good steward of what God has given to me. Oh, that you and I might be that tonight. Paul said, my departure is at hand. A crown of righteousness is waiting for me because I've longed to see Jesus come again. I'm wondering tonight if there's a young person or adult that would be just a little bit embarrassed because of these four essential things that Paul summarizes. You say, really, I can't say tonight that I've been steadfast and in the book as I should. I don't think I'd want Jesus to come and I'd have to give account for that. Or maybe the fact that I've not been the good soldier that I should be. Maybe tonight that I've not been the soul winner that I should be. Or maybe I used to be, but I'm not doing it anymore and I've not been sustained. You remember Paul says here, not only that crown of righteousness is for him, that is waiting for him, but to all those who love his appearing. If you're sitting here tonight saying, oh Lord, I hope you come tonight. That would be the best thing that could ever happen in my life. I'd long for you to come. Friend, that's the way every single one of us ought to live, and that's what God says ought to be. Now let me finish with this illustration. Just a few weeks ago, we had the Boston Marathon. How many of you know what the Boston Marathon is all about? Sure. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, they said to those, because of the heat in Boston, certainly wasn't held in Montana, but they said, because of the heat a few weeks ago that was in Boston, anyone that was not a professional runner should consider dropping out of that race. Now, which one of those guys that have come all the way across the country and look forward to being a participant in the Boston Marathon are going to say, the hot weather in the 80s is going to cause me to drop out? No, they're not going to do that. Because they're looking forward. This race is about 26 miles. It's a difficult race, a run of about 26 miles. One of the toughest runs and one of the toughest competitions in the history of the Olympics. The fact is, back in the original Olympics, that's where the marathon came about. But it wasn't quite like you're going to see in the Olympics at some point. The fact is, there was one distinct distance. That's different. The distance was the same. But one distinct difference was the fact that every runner, every entrant, everyone that entered as a contestant into the marathon received a torch. They received a torch. And as they stood there behind the starting line, and the race was started, they ran with this torch 26 miles. And it wasn't the one that crossed the line first and finished first that was given the award as winning the marathon. You know what it was? It was the one that crossed with his torch, and the torch still lit. You know what the application is to me when I read this passage of Scripture? Oh God, help me to be steadfast. Help me to be somebody that is a good soldier in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Help me, God, to be a soul winner. And help me not to quit in the race, but to not quit until I get through the finish line and let me have my torch that is still lit. That torch that was given to me from my parents. My dad was a preacher. And he
2007, went to be in the Lord. He gave me that book, so to speak, of something that I inherited. I didn't inherit salvation that way. But thank God, he gave me as a younger generation that verse. I don't want to quit until I reach that finish line. Memorial Day weekend. And we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, church tonight, will you be one that will determine tonight to finish the finish line with your torch lit? God help us tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for the torch of liberty that has been given to us. But Lord, we talk about something far greater tonight than even as valuable as our liberties in our nation on this Memorial Day weekend. We're talking tonight about being a good soldier for you. We're talking, Lord, about dedicating our lives tonight to be steadfast. Lord, helping us to be good soldiers. Helping us ever much as was for Timothy to be a soul winner, to do the work of an evangelist this week and every day of our life. Oh God, to be sustained that none of us will quit on God. God, keep us going. Keep us keeping on. Help us, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed again. I'm just going to say, let's all give invitation. And if you stand quietly, softly to you, your feet today, the altar's open. And I pray that God will touch your heart tonight. On this Memorial Day weekend, somewhere tonight, God's Spirit.
You're not sure you're saved. Not sure you have a home in heaven. Tonight should be that night. Say, God, I am a sinner. Because of my sins, I owe a terrible price as death and hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So tonight I give my life. I accept you as my personal Savior. Maybe you're like that tonight. Why don't you come? Why don't you meet us in the front and say, you know, preacher, I need to be saved. I need to be on my way to heaven. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I need to follow Lord and believer's baptism. Maybe you're here tonight and say, you know, preacher, we need to become members of this church. We really believe that God has really led us to here. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here tonight and say, preacher, my soul-winning vigor is, my torch is about out. I don't want that. God's people said, look for me for a minute, will you? Look it up here. I think sometimes we forget what it's all about. This is what it's all about. The preaching. The Word of God.
nothing is more important than the Word of God. Nothing. I really don't care about anything else. Some people get so excited about doing certain things and making certain things are done, but I'll be honest with you, if you miss the preaching, you missed all the whole week. You missed it. Be faithful to your church. I know some of you don't go to our church or from other places. Faithful to your church. Faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to your prayer life. It'll change your life. We're in such a crazy world today that we just don't know which way to turn. But a lot of things come to us. And they come to us in certain packages. You have no idea what you're about to open up. And when you open it up, you wish sometimes. You remember that old story about Pandora's box? It seemed like that's just about what happens a lot of times. But we don't want to ever charge God foolishly. And we accept those challenges that God gives in our life. Sometimes we don't expect those challenges. Sometimes we just think, wait a minute, that's not what I planned on the rest of my life. But God is good all the time. And all the time, God's good all the time. And you trust Him. I know that we've been through a lot of shaking lately. I think of little Jaden. I think of the trouble that he's going through right now and his parents are going to go through. We have no idea. Little Ashlyn Rogers, you have no idea. Even Shirley McKeon just thought a surgery, back surgery, and now it's turned into a very devastating situation. That doctor yesterday spent time with her. She said, "Preacher, it felt like I was going to lose my mind. It's hurt me so bad." And just a simple thing. We have no idea what's going on in our lives. It's okay when you're right with God. It's okay when you say, "Dear God, I don't know what it is. I'm ready." Sometimes you just got to duct tape yourself to the saddle and hang on, amen. Sometimes you have no idea what's going on in your life, but you just got to do it. You just got to do it. And the reward is there. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep the torch burning. Boy, that was a good reminder. My heart just—he struck me right between the eyes when he hit me with that one. Amen. Just keep that torch flaming. Amen. And sometimes some people run so fast they put the torch out. And all of it, when you do that, it isn't worth it. Some of you people work so hard and go so long and forget your kids, and all of a sudden they are grown and out of college and married, and you're going like, "What was that?" Kind of like a meteorite is in life. It's gone. Some of you parents know what I'm talking about. But let's keep them torches burning. Amen. Richard Frank and his dear wife, Hera and Hailey, I believe this is your last Sunday. This is something that, brother, I don't get used to. I just want Richard, if you'd come a minute, just for a minute. Your wife there, I can't see. Yeah. Would you come up here, brother? Michigan boy. Hey, man. It's boy, the man. But God has blessed us with this grandson of a preacher. And first time I met him, I just loved him like a son. And he's been, I know that he's going to be leaving us. I just knew that. I just don't want him to it. But we held you as long as we could. And he told me, a lot of you guys that leave this church, you lie to me and say, "Well, I'll be back." He said, "I can be back in 2 years." Is that what you said, didn't you?
A few years.
Yeah, a few years, yeah. Now we're changing, whatever. But we have no idea. You've been a blessing to us. You've been a blessing to our young adults. You've been a blessing to our folks over at the Lodge. Anything I've ever asked you to do, you've already done it, and you've done it well. One of our deacons of our church, Kara's been teaching the Sunday school class, and Haley's been my little buddy, and we just thank God so much for all they've done. I know the Lodge is going to miss them very dearly. Every week they go, they're going to miss her more than miss you guys. But we thank God so much for you. Maybe just like you say a couple words, brother, would you?
Sure. I want to thank you guys. This is the first time that we've been able to have a home church. Like Preacher said, the minute we got here, he really did love us like family. And all you guys did too. And back home, we traveled 80 miles one way to church. We didn't get to know anybody. As you guys know, and you were there for us, I lost one of my Christian friends. That leaves me one Christian friend at home. One. So many of you have opened your home. I can let my kid run wild in your house and not worry about what she's hearing, what she's seeing.
Right.
You don't know what a blessing that is, just to have a Christian family, especially as military members, to have a home away from home. You guys are family, and we love you. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It really does feel like we're leaving home again. I'm not going to cry, so I'm going to be done. I love you guys. That's it. I love you.
Everybody. Man, I hate that. As most of you know, we build a church here about every 3 to 5 years. About 40% of the people out here are military. You come here, I open my heart to you. And I give you everything I got. And I just hope we got some more out there, more Richard and Kara Franks out there we can find. They are. There's a whole bunch out there. A whole bunch out there that have no church, have no hope. They have a God that does not answer their prayers. And there's some folks out there. You just got to be looking for them and grab them, say, come on in and be part of us. And it's the way it's been. 30 years of this church is in and out. You know, Joe Boyd had a church one time. He finally called it the Revolving Door Baptist Church. In and out, in and out, in and out. But we've got people all over the world now. Jake Spears, I was just in Bangkok, Thailand when I was flying through there. I missed him by a day. He's a CIA member now. You all know Jake. And pray for him. He's in Pakistan. Very, very dangerous thing what he's doing right now. And I know you won't go on the internet and say anything about it. I never even thought about that when I said that. But Amy talked to me on FaceTime, and she just said, Preacher, there's no church like Heritage Baptist Church. And said, we miss you so much. Anyway, keep serving God. Keep doing what's right. I sure you come. We want to take an offering for Golden State. And God would certainly bless them.